B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
And welcome into Checkpoint XP Daily for Tuesday, May 14th, 2019, your home for esports and gaming. Want to thank everyone listening on the Talk of Las Vegas, 101.5 FM and 720 AM, as well as KJR 950 in Seattle, Washington. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll get the latest in esports news from over at the news desk with Sarah Skopic. That discussion is ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But first, let's check in with Sarah Skopic over at the Checkpoint News Desk and get a gaming news update.
Gaming news update with Sarah Skopic.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program to bring you important news.
CheckpointXP.com.
Bethesda has pulled an Elder Scrolls tabletop scenario centered around Elsweyr following accusations of plagiarism. When compared, the text in Elsweyr sounds remarkably similar to that of a 2016 D&D adventure titled The Black Road. The campaign was to be a promotion for the upcoming ESO's expansion.
Did you even try Bethesda?
When they say it sounds remarkably similar,
I think the first sentence has what, two words have been swapped around a little bit.
That first paragraph really is just infuriating because it's the same thing with a couple of pronouns changed and a couple of adjectives changed.
You expect better out of Bethesda. There's no one sitting around at Bethesda that could design a halfway decent tabletop RPG from scratch.
Right.
Come on.
That's something that they've been doing for ages. Diablo 2 had a D&D campaign built into it. You don't have to steal.
I have to wonder how many people lost their job for this one. But
somebody had to okay it.
Yeah, exactly. Think of how many people had to sign off on something like this. At that point, I think all of that work becomes suspect.
Ubisoft has officially confirmed leaks that came out last week. They've unveiled a new Ghost Recon game titled Breakpoint. The open-world shooter will be coming to PS4, Xbox One, and PC on October 4th, 2019. The game will not be coming to Steam, but will be available on Epic Store and Uplay.
Epic, man.
They're starting to really clean up.
But at the end of the day, is it that they're cleaning up or they just offer better deals, better rates?
I think that is a big part of it. I think that's a big part of it. When your platform boasts as many users because of Fortnite,
as it does,
and you have a better cut of the revenue.
Yeah.
And it just makes sense. And what are they losing out by waiting a year to come to Steam or 2 years or whatever it is, doing the time release to Steam? You don't lose out on enough not to do it.
Exactly.
Leave us out of your union issues, Delta. We've got enough of them on our own. Delta ran a campaign last week stating that the average union dues in the U.S. are $700. The campaign urged employees not to unionize and instead buy a new video game console. It's particularly tasteless given the state of union issues in the gaming industry.
So what we should do is unionize. Delta, you are the only airline that maybe I can stand flying anymore. And you're right on the cusp. Right on the cusp. Please don't do stuff like this. Don't drag us into your union fights.
Yeah, it's a bad look when you are doing anything union related around the video game industry, a industry that so badly needs to unionize.
Yeah.
The Electronic Software Association has officially announced new leadership for the organization. Stanley Pierre-Louis will officially take over as president and CEO of ESA, following the departure of then-CEO Michael Gallagher in October of last year. The move followed a bombshell report from Variety detailing a toxic work culture and rampant disarray at the ESA.
So you know what? I'm not surprised that you have stuff going on at Riot and you have stuff going on in the games industry as a whole, because if the ESA is supposed supposed to be sort of the leadership, aka policing body of the entire games industry, and they have toxic work cultures. I mean, how is anybody else supposed to pick up the slack?
The ESA is also a lobbying group, and it is also what oversees the ESRB. So it's actually, when you start to hear these types of reports of what it's like to actually work at the ESA, it starts to become a whole lot more clear how we get to where we are right now with loot boxes.
Naughty Dog has suggested that development of The Last of Us 2 is entering its final stages. They're bringing on a new round of hires to help finish out animation, but it seems like the core of the game is now completed.
Yes.
While this could mean we're still as much as a year away from release, it looks like we won't have a major delay like what we saw with Uncharted 4.
I'm excited for this, man. I loved The Last of Us. I love what I've seen out of The Last of Us 2 so far. And I mean, it is both like atmospheric, terrifying, and it's also pushing, you know, cultural bounds and
right.
people's buttons. So I like it for all of those reasons.
This is one of the reasons why I am sad that Sony's not going to be at E3 this year, because we could be looking at a really nice, probably close-up look at this in a month. But
that's a good point.
Yeah, that said, I mean, we're going to get a state of play that's going to be dedicated to this.
Maybe.
I mean, if they're bringing out a new round of hires, you figure a couple months for training, they finish out the animation, we're probably looking at a holiday, maybe early next year release date.
Spring next year.
Yeah, at the latest. That's where we're getting to. It's almost done.
Netflix will be attending E3 this year and hosting a panel. The panel will focus on their adaptation of their original series into video games. In addition to talking about the upcoming Stranger Things game, they've also teased more announcements about some of their other IPs.
Netflix has so many original IPs right now that...
But how many of them would make for good video games?
Battersnatch.
That's something I think they're going to talk a lot about. It's kind of the interactive media that they're putting out.
Yeah.
Not necessarily video games.
Okay.
But if they start talking about doing more things like Bandersnatch and more of these interactive things that you can do on the Netflix platform, like we've talked about how the future of entertainment is this interactivity.
And Netflix definitely needs to find a way to pivot, because there was a recent poll that was done with them losing all their Star Wars and Marvel properties.
Oh, yeah.
How many people would unsubscribe? 22%.
Wow. That's pretty significant. And I mean, yeah, like Netflix is known for, if nothing else, innovation.
Mm-hmm.
So I have no doubt that they're going to look towards things like Bandersnatch. I mean, that's a really great example.
I mean, I just, you know, they could give Orange is the New Black a prison sim. That'd be nice.
would actually be hilarious. I'd play that.
But I mean, like, think of places like Adult Swim that when they started doing games early on, people didn't really take it seriously. But now that they've been doing it for like 10 years, their games are quite good.
For years now, rumors have been swirling of a new Mortal Kombat film.
It's happening!
Those rumors have finally come to pass as New Line Cinema's third installment in the Mortal Kombat franchise has begun pre-production in South Australia. James Wan is on board as a producer, and the film will mark the movie directorial debut of Simon McQuaid.
Wait, is it actually going to be like Mortal Kombat 3? Are they continuing the timeline?
No, I think it's a reboot.
There's enough to reboot, because there's no way you can put in like Aaron Black or any of the new characters like that.
So, Mortal Kombat film. I'm excited for that.
What are your expectations for something like this? Because, total over the top.
Guys who did Rampage to do it.
Yeah, but at the same time, though, you know, look at something like Detective Pikachu, where it's also very loyal to the source material, but the source material is cheesy and goofy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think you got a good point.
And that's all for the Checkpoint XP Gaming News Update. For more, head on over to our website, checkpointxp.com.
Thanks, Sarah, for the update. I think the grimdark version is the one that we just don't want to see.
I don't need more Annihilation.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Blizzard shocked many last year when they officially confirmed they'll be releasing a vanilla World of Warcraft server. They've been quiet on the subject, but this week got a release date as well as the patch number.
Yep, so the game's going to closely resemble the early days of vanilla World of Warcraft, specifically the 1.12 Drums of War patch. The company felt that that point in time was when the game was still very early on, but had ironed out a lot of the rough patches from launch. That'll be releasing August 27th, 2019.
Robbie, do you have any context for like this era of the game?
Yeah, I played early on. It wasn't when I really got into it. It wasn't until the second expansion that I really got hooked on it. But man, like the cynic in me still looks at this and just thinks, why are you guys spending money to play this?
So they
we already
gonna...
played it.
All right, listen, as somebody who has downloaded the Nosomi server for Final Fantasy
XI, I'm not saying there's not a market for it, but I just don't get it.
There's definitely a market for it. And here's the thing. I don't want to pay for it.
Yeah, I think that that's fair. Well, like, and I do think that, you know, legacy servers of MMOs, you know, while they have mostly been fan projects, does show that there is at least some amount of an audience there. Well, and if you can monetize that in any way, shape, or form, I think it behooves the original developer to actually support that desire.
Well, that's the thing, is I don't think this genuinely hurts anything by existing.
It
I think if it gets more people interested in World of Warcraft, I mean, there are people... I mean, I would like to see what vanilla World of Warcraft is all about, because I'm curious.
Why did it
catch on? I'm curious. But, I mean, they're doing a collector's edition, if anyone's interested. It's $100. You get a Ragnarok statue.
God, $100
for a 20-year-old game?
No!
Well, let's be frank. You're not paying for the game. You're paying for the statue.
But you're paying for
the art prints.
You can't even say that it's because I'm old, because there are people who are older than me that also played Vanilla WoW that are excited for it again, and I just don't get it.
But there are totally games, like, if I found out there was an early Star Wars Galaxies server, I would genuinely want to try that.
Yeah, a lot of their City of Heroes is a popular one.
If it's a game that's just not out anymore, like it's just gone, I get that a little bit more.
Well, we all played Final Fantasy XI.
Yeah,
and that game no longer resembles anything like it did when we first started playing it.
To say that Post Abyssia 11 isn't a completely different game,
it's a new game.
Exactly. So if say something like Final Fantasy XI did that, would it be something that interests you at all?
No, because if it did, I'd go to the Nosoma.
But I mean, if it's an official release, you know it's going to have a lot more people on it, too. So, I don't know. It would interest me. I don't know that I would play it long term.
All right, well, listen, we got to leave the discussion right there, but we want to hear from you. Are you excited about Vanilla WoW? Are you going to be picking it up? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP, we'll check in with Sarah over at the Checkpoint News Desk.
Ubisoft sure has some money to burn, so you know what that means.
Esports news is next here on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on 98.5, the sports hub of Boston, as well as the Team 980 in Washington, D.C. Check out our website over at CheckpointXP.com, and while you're there, make sure you sign up for the Checkpoint XP Nation newsletter. Get behind-the-scenes insight photos and access to contests and unique content. All it takes is an email address and a zip code, so sign up today at CheckpointXP.com. But first, let's check in with Sarah Skopic over at the Checkpoint News Desk and get an esports gaming update.
Oh my God! It's over! It's over! He did it!
Ready for the dive! Hit from the
universe! Hit
from the
center! Oh, and another one! Oh, the third! What is this?
Esports gaming update with Sarah Skopic.
Ubisoft has decided to share the wealth coming out of their growing esports scene. Following a successful start to the year for Rainbow Six, Ubisoft has added over $1 million to the prize pools for four of their major tournaments. The U.S. Major now worth $500,000, and the Pro League will have a pool of $626,000.
Listen, ooh. I love to see Ubisoft getting into the space and supporting it meaningfully with really nice prize pools, but, like, I don't...
I don't see much of it in terms of enthusiasm or returns for specifically Rainbow Six.
Yeah, advertisements even.
Well, I'm kind of torn on it, right? Because now I'm starting to see a lot of the esports websites. You see .esports, you see Esports Observer. More of these websites are starting to cover Rainbow Six, which means says to me they're either talking to Ubisoft or they're getting enough requests from their people to actually, you know, provide news on it. So it's hard to say. Maybe they're just trying to artificially inflate their esports scene with some bigger prize pools, or maybe they are seeing some good returns.
But I mean, the game's what, like 2 years old already? Like
two or three?
Almost two or three. Like, yeah, it's been out for a while, and it just seems like, you know, if it didn't happen, is it going to happen now? Like,
or is it happening now? Maybe we're just not seeing it.
Maybe.
The Counter-Strike community is currently upset over clashes between Refresh and ESL. The issue? Refresh, who owns Astralis as well as the Blast Pro series, are starting to run more events, and they're overlapping with the ESL. The result is things like what happened at IEM Sydney, where Astralis didn't compete to instead compete in the Blast Pro event this weekend. Any team that has a partnership with Refresh, including major names like Team Liquid, will have to skip some ESL events to attend Blast events.
Oh, and now we see the problem with those who are putting on the events also owning teams.
Yeah.
Right. Like, this does seem very conflict of interesty.
No, it does. And, you know, when we talk about, you know, the parity in CSGO, and we say, oh, wow, somebody else won that wasn't Astralis. Oh, wait, no, it's because Astralis
didn't show up.
That puts an entirely different context on the story, like, now. If your top team isn't there competing, do you even care about the tournament?
Is it a top tournament?
Because one of the next ones that are coming up is there's a rumor that both Team Liquid and Astralis are going to be skipping it.
Oh,
and
wow.
Now you're talking your top two teams aren't there. And at the same time, if, you know, Refresh wants to, you know, host their own tournaments, no one yells at Blizzard over hosting their Overwatch tournaments.
But I mean, at the same time, this does give a smaller team, a more upstart team, an opportunity to make some good headlines and make some good press.
It does.
And I mean, I'm a little bit split, because it's like, you know, every time Astralis competes, it seems like they win. But at the same time, like, I'm desperate to hear anything else out of the Counter-Strike scene.
But,
so,
but if Astralis is not there, we all go, oh, who cares then?
Yeah, it's almost,
so
like,
it's
almost like having an asterisk next to your win.
Exactly.
Like, I don't know. Like, I think that is a really difficult situation to navigate, and I don't know what the solution is, to be honest with you.
And I'm not sure there's a good one. There's going to be some pain one way or another to getting to this solution.
Yeah.
Supercell is getting set to bring back the Clash Royale League for their second season. This year, though, they've brought on a new partner to handle most of their production. They've signed OGN to handle the presentation for Clash Royale League. While OGN has a long history of presenting esports, dating back to StarCraft in the late 90s, they're most recently known for handling the production of the National PUBG League.
Which is a good production.
One of the best esports presentations out there, period. So I think that could be pretty cool. I like OGN's production style. I hope that, you know, there's some more enthusiasm around Clash Royale. Speaking of NPL, though, I did see them over this past weekend with like 20,000 viewers on their Twitch
channel.
Better
than they've had.
It's better than they had, and made me start to wonder if maybe their scheduling change is really starting to pay off for them.
Right. Well, and for Clash Royale specifically, I think this is a sensible move. OGN's a major network in Korea, where Clash Royale is far more popular than it is over here, so I get it.
Makes sense.
Upper Deck have inked a deal with Blizzard to begin creating Overwatch League merchandise. Upper Deck has partnered with many traditional sports leagues to create trading cards, but this marks their first venture with an esports league. The multi-year deal also includes rights to make stickers, posters, and other memorabilia.
I think this is really low-key intelligent. And I
think this is a big deal. Yeah. I mean, because, like, well, I guess Upper Deck trading cards have not necessarily been at, like, the forefront of cards that sell a whole bunch.
Not for the last 20 years.
TCGs have been a much more effective way to move cardboard, if you will. but I do think that this is really smart. And when I went to Meijer over the weekend and saw that they had ninja posters, like that, like, Jonathan Taylor Thomas used to have posters in Kmart back in the 90s.
Yeah.
It's weird to see one of our own kind of like put up like that, but it made me think, like, there needs to be more of this.
This is a big deal for the culture, because again, first esports this has ever happened to, and whether or not people are buying, you know, sports trading card games, you know, nowadays like they used to, like, growing up, my dad had boxes upon boxes
of baseball cards,
football, like everything. It's insane that this is happening now with Overwatch. Is actually really cool.
And I also think that, you know, merchandise and posters and stickers is a part of OWL that actually could improve quite a bit. So yeah. I think this is a big deal and a good move.
Absolutely.
For those who say that competitive rating will never be viable, they might want to take a look at the Twitch numbers. Method are one of their major names in competitive World of Warcraft rating, and their Twitch channel is certainly reflecting that. Despite the most recent raid being only a mini raid, the race to complete the dungeon first was fierce. In fact, during their efforts to complete, their Twitch channel was averaging between 20 and 40,000 viewers.
What?
That puts their Twitch channel alone in competition with esports events for games like StarCraft.
Let me put some context on here, because you're right. When it's happening, it is crazy visible. But this only happens for like 2 to 3 weeks every 5 to 6 months.
Was world first thing, basically.
Yeah.
Well, but at the same time, that doesn't mean that like there isn't a lot of opportunity there. A couple weeks every few months, there's tournaments that don't go on that often.
That's fair.
It was a good weekend for Golden State fans. Not only did the Warriors punch their ticket to the NBA Western Conference Finals, Warriors Gaming had a great showing in Las Vegas at the Turn. The event, held at the Allied Esports Arena inside the Luxor, hosted every team in the NBA 2K League. In the end, it was the Warriors Gaming squad defeating 76ers GC to win the $90,000 prize.
And congratulations, God, to the Warriors squad. That's great.
Awesome news.
That's all for the Checkpoint XP Esports Gaming Update. For more, head on over to our website, checkpointxp.com.
Thanks, Sarah, for the update. We talked recently about Immortals looking to get back into the LCS by buying Optic slot, and now looks like that is near happening, but not in the way that we thought.
Yeah, so Immortals are continuing their push to try to get back into the North American League of Legends scene. The last time we saw them in the LCS was in 2017 when they lost to TSM in the Summer Split Finals. However, Immortals Gaming Club has nearly completed a deal to purchase Infinite Esports and Entertainment, the parent company of Optic Gaming. If they buy that, they're not only getting the league slot, they're getting everything that Optic Gaming owns, which means a couple of different things. First of all, it means that Immortals, or whether they choose to keep the name Optic or go back to Immortals, will be back in the LCS, which would be, I think, a very big deal, a legacy name, major name coming back to LCS. But it also opens up an issue with Overwatch League.
So that creates a conflict of interest because Immortals already owns the LA Valiant.
Right. So Immortals owns the LA Valiant. If they purchase Optic Gaming, they Houston now own Outlaws. Houston Outlaws too.
Uh-huh.
So my question to Robbie and Norris is, what do you think is the ideal outcome there?
Oh, man.
It's probably the sale of the Valiant. I think the Outlaws, even though they're around the same tier in terms of where they are in the standings, I think the Outlaws are the more valuable brand right now.
I agree with that 100%.
So I think it would be the sale of the Valiant. And I think if they could get a new owner that's a little bit more enthusiastic about the Valiant, because they are a team that has seemed like they haven't necessarily got the front office support that maybe they should have been getting.
Something else to consider, too, is in the past maybe 6 months, we've also seen the Houston Outlaws partner up with like 3 or 4 different brands. So there's also, I think, a lot more advertising money behind that team as well.
And it's the Texas Triangle, man. Let's just keep it honest. When it comes to esports, if you're in the Texas Triangle, you got a nice little cash flow that could be coming through. And I think, yeah, you'll probably see the Valiant be released by Immortals, and they could be looking for a buyer for that team fairly soon.
So if this happens, it'll also effectively be the end of Optic Gaming as a brand, because the Immortals also own MIBR in the CSGO scene. They're not letting that squad go, because that squad is a way bigger name than Optic Gaming is. And they'll also take over Optic Gaming's forthcoming CWL slot, which, like Overwatch League, is going to require a rebrand.
Yeah.
If you want to move into there, literally
Immortals are snapping away Optic.
Like, this would be the end of Optic Gaming as we know it. I mean, that would be like, we'd see one legacy brand come back into the LCS kind of at the expense of another legacy brand disappearing out of esports.
Well balanced,
as everything should be.
Oh, jeez. Well, that's a dark way to look at it, I suppose.
Man. It's a little depressing. Jeez. You can't find a more optimistic note to end this on?
Go Immortals. You're coming back.
All right. Well, listen, we want to hear from you. Connect with us on social media. That That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint underscore XP on Instagram. That's going to do it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website, checkpointxp.com, for insight on esports and gaming, as well as our growing collection of podcasts and interviews. Make sure you tune in tomorrow when we'll ask our social media followers what game they absolutely love but have never actually beaten. And join us Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern live at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. I want to thank my crew. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Producing and booking help from Christine Solis. Big thanks to Sarah Skopik over at the Checkpoint News Desk. And, of course, my co-hosts who pull double duty as producers for Checkpoint XP. Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's A. Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.